Firstly, this one was produced by someone else, so it wasn't me specifically,
okay.
but it took the median income for that local area, so that postcode, and then looked at, well, what percentage of a 40th percentile income would that represent? So if that rent for that postcode was going to be 50 or 60% of the 40th percentile income, then clearly those kinds of households, the average household, would be paying too much in rent. So put them in a stressed situation. So clearly the rent there is unaffordable for those kinds of households.
And that is median rent that you said?
Yeah, so this tool focuses on these kind of medians. Yeah, it looks at where the halfway point in the rental market is.
You stack them all up and then find the point right in the middle.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it is, I guess, a broad measure of understanding where housing markets are more and less expensive across the region, and giving it a comparison point to something that means something to people, so their income measure. It's all very good to say, well, the median is $500 here, but it's only $300 over there, but it doesn't sort of mean much to many people. So the income measure is a reference point to understand, well, what does $500 mean for somebody's kind of daily existence.
So I guess it's like zooming in on each postcode and not just looking at the dollar cost of rent, but it's more like a balance, I guess, is what I'm hearing, a balance between how much does the rent cost and how much is the average income in that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things with the affordability index is they use incomes from across regions. So they use a metropolitan region-based income and also a non-metropolitan, so the rest of the state-based income.
Okay. That's pretty broad, I guess.
It is broad, and so you end up looking at a picture of the relative differences in the housing market across those areas, which is important to understand. I mean, the other thing that tool does is it takes income levels for different household types. So you can look at the same map, but using an income for, say, an older pensioner household.
Okay.
So then it takes their income level and sees what their 30% rent rule should be. And so that'll change the colour of the map. So if you do that, you'll find that you end up with a lot more red areas than there otherwise would be for the average household.
And I understand that you were looking at a study using this technique. I think you did a case study in Queensland, is that right?
Yeah, so we produce a different measure. We'll ask by Tenants Queensland, which is their tenant advisory service up there, to help understand the renters actually living in the rental sector up there. So the rental affordability and index gives you a picture of what the housing market is like, but it doesn't tell you a lot about people actually living in rental in those areas.
Okay.
So that's where the rent vulnerability index comes in. But we also took a step further to understand, well, okay, income and house cost is one component of your existence, and there are other things in your life that may put you into a more precarious situation. And so we also looked at kind of personal factors that might contribute to you being more vulnerable in your living arrangements. So we took a legal needs approach to this and understood, well, what kinds of indicators or kinds of groups of people that may be more vulnerable to needing legal services or legal advice. So we looked at things like high unemployment rates and low education, single parent households, elderly renters, these sorts of things, and focus explicitly on measuring the kinds of people who are renters in those areas across Queensland. And so then we combine it all to produce this index that represents a picture of more vulnerable renters across the state of Queensland.
So it seems like the affordability index is more like, I guess, cold, hard economics, whereas your case study of Queensland using this different metric, the vulnerability index, is looking sort of more having a look at society rather than just the plain economics of, you know, income and expenditure.
Yeah, and also a bit more the kind of lived experiences of, I mean, without talking to these people, the sort of lived kind of conditions of renting. I mean, one of the things about the being in rental is there tends to be a much higher turnover. So if you have a lower income and rents start to rise, well, then probably within a short period of time, you're going to be pushed geographically further and further away. So high rent areas, you'll find that it's going to be people with much higher incomes living in those areas. And low rent areas, which might appear more affordable, actually will be full of renters that are have very low incomes because that's okay. the kind of rent that they can afford. But they might be in rent stress because their incomes are also very low. So that's what the Rental Affordability Index doesn't show us, but the Rental Vulnerability Index does start to show us.
And so both of these techniques, they can actually give you like a visual representation with like a color map or a contour map to show, as you mentioned before, like the different postcodes. You can zoom in and see maybe areas of localized rental stress or something like that?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, because part of what happens is as people move around the city, you need to understand where particular problems become manifest and where particular issues, you know, might occur. So one of the things we started to understand in the Queensland context was that there seemed to be concentrations of this kind of or layering of disadvantage into regional areas of Queensland. So outside of Brisbane, those households that can't afford Brisbane anymore are getting pushed sort of further into the regions rather than just further into the suburbs as we might have expected previously.
So what policy measures have you suggested as a consequence of using this index and doing quite an in-depth study, particularly into the case study of Queensland? What kind of, I guess, policy measures have become really evident that have sprung logically from this research?
Well, specifically from this research, it was about Tenants Queensland, helping them target where they're going to deliver their services. So they provide advice services to tenants who get into difficult situations related to their tenancy. And so for them, it's about understanding where they might need to be locating services and putting resources to assist tenants that may most be in need. So that was a key aim of our tool. So it's a kind of information base. But so more broadly, in terms of broader policy issues, I mean, this comes out of work that City Futures does across the housing issue spectrum. And it revolves around creating a better and stable, more stable kind of housing policy space so that we are providing for different household types in areas that are most unaffordable. So we don't necessarily have to see this kind of geographical movement of very low income households out of the city. We need to be putting in place policies that actually provide for those households as well. So some of the things we've listed out, which are quite commonly spoken about is, inclusionary zoning is one that's being talked about quite heavily at the moment in Sydney. So that's requiring through the planning system, requiring a certain percentage of affordable housing in all new development, regardless of where it is in the city.
Okay.
So that's just one of the things that we've listed out.
Well, I think it's very interesting that you're using this index, I guess, to dig a little bit deeper than just the cold, hard numbers of what's going on in the housing sector in Australia at the moment. Lawrence, thanks so much for coming on Drive and having a chat to us today.